Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Bechoros, daf Vav. Okay, we started the Mishnah yesterday. We're going to continue with the Mishnah today. Scheduling note, tomorrow I take off the day. I don't really take off, but I'll be away. So tomorrow I will miss the daf, but don't worry, I'll be back for daf Ches, Mirza Hashem. And you talk about a garita that is difficult to learn, but definitely hard to forget. That's daf Ches, a garita coming up on daf Ches, famous book. You want to prepare for Tuesday's daf, right? Today is Sunday, yeah. You want to prepare for Tuesday's daf, a sefer written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman, who's the current Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore. It's called The Juggler and the King. It is so what Juggler and the King. It is basically the Vilna Gaon's interpretation of the Agarata on Daf Ches. I have not gone to the sefer, but it is it's a popular sefer. A lot of people I've seen in a lot of people's houses. Anyway, so that's for Daf Ches. That's your Agarata coming up. In the meantime, however, today no Agarata. Today all halacha, all classic Gemara, and let's begin. Okay, I am going to end a couple minutes early today. We're going to try to catch that flight. We'll see if we can do it. The Mishnah talks about mutated animals. Okay, Parashi Yalda, I'm going to start from the Mishnah again. Parashi Yalda min chamor v'chamor shialda kemin sus p'tur min abechora. If I have a cow that gives birth to a donkey or a donkey that gives birth to a cow, obviously we're talking about mutations, where animal just simply...
It's not QI.
No, it's not. I don't think so. I don't think so. It could be. Could be the result of Kalayim, but it's just simple random mutations where what comes out now is no longer, it doesn't look like the parent. So Shenemar, so the Mishnah says you have an exemption. Peturim and Bechorah. So that which comes out is Patur Shenemar, Petur Chamor, Shnei Pamim, it says it twice in the Torah. Ashe Hayulad Chamor V'Anolad Chamor. The mother who's giving birth has to be a donkey, and the baby born has to be a donkey. And according to our Mishnah, that's learned from the repetition of Petur Chamor twice. Uma Heim Ba'Achila. Now, can we talk about the status regarding eating? Are they permissible? They meaning the fetus. So behematar shalda kamin behematamea motu ba'achila, utame shalda kamin behematar asr ba'achila, shiyotim na tame tame, vayotim na tara tara. So the Mishnah here in Bechoros gives us such a basic rule, a fundamental rule, and that is, look at the mother. Whatever the mother is, that's what's going to be the status of that thing that comes out. So if the mother... Yeah, if the mother is kosher, and that which comes out is not kosher, doesn't look kosher, doesn't matter. In other words, it's a derivative of a kosher, so... Call a yotze min a tartar.
So if it's a donkey, you eat it.
So even if it's a donkey, it looks like a donkey. Enjoy. Enjoy your donkey. Now, Tanan Hasam, now we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah that coming up later on deals with a similar halacha, but we're no longer talking about a donkey giving birth to a mutated animal that kind of looks like a cow. But here the Mishnah is going to talk about sheep and goat. The same basic idea, which is that a sheep gives birth to a goat, or a goat gives birth to something that looks like a sheep, so then that's an exemption. There has to be nidma, there has to be similarity between parent and offspring. Now, in this Mishnah, there is an additional point, which is mixas simanim, that if there's some similarity between the offspring and the mother, so you no longer have an exemption. You're now obligated. Now, what exactly do we mean by mitzvah simanim, by some similarity? So the Gemara never actually says what that is. There's no clear definition of what mitzvah simanim is. There's a Rashi. I know there's... No, shall ima know. Right?
It's like
certain
parts of the body look similar.
What it is. Okay, I'll find the Rashi. Okay, not now. I guess I'll find it a little bit later. Okay, so in other words, there has to be some similarity. So, Menahan Emilia, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Kras. So, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Korach, Ach Bechor Shor, Shiehu Shor, Ubechoro Shor. Bechor Kesev, Shiehu Kesev, Ubechoro Kesev. And Bechor Eiz, Shehu Eiz Bechoro Eiz. So Yachol Afili Yeshba Mixa Simanim. What if it has Mixa Simanim? Meaning, it's dissimilar, but a little bit similar. It has just some sort of relationship. Tamalomer Ach Chalak, though Ach is dividing. Meaning that this exemption is a limited exemption. It's not a full exemption. if there's some similarity between parent and offspring, so then you're going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Bechor. Okay. And here basically now, the Gemara is going to detail the following. We now basically have learned in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah coming up later on, the same halacha. We've learned in the context of Chamor, and we've learned in the context of Bechor, of a kosher animal. And that the offspring has to look like the mother. Our Mishnah learns it from the repetition of Petr Chamor, Petr Chamor. And later on, it learns it from Bechor Shor, Bechor Seh, and Bechor Eis. So the Gemara is just going to be bothered by which one is the real drasha. So, Tamala Machalak. V'hatana pata pata kanasiv lei. Leparu hu da, I'm sorry. Kanasiv lei lepara. Hu da amakar av yosi haglili. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah later on is following the position of Rav Yosi Glili, the time of Rav Yosi Glili, Omer, Ach Bechor Shor, Ache Hu Shor, or Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Ache Hu Kesev, Bechor Kesev, O Bechor Eiz, Ache Hu Eiz, O Bechor Eiz. This is all the opinion of Rav Yosi Glili. The Mishnah later on follows Rav Yosi Glili. Yachol Afil Yeshba makes a Semana Tamalama Achalak. It is not a full exemption, it's a limited exemption, meaning if there's some similarity between offspring and parent, so then you're obligated in the mitzvah of Bechor. So, now what's the machlokas over here? Now, mind you, we're not talking about a major machlokas. We're talking about what's the source. And the only debate taking place right now is, where do we learn it from? Do we learn it from the repetition of Petr Chamor, mentioned once in Parshas Bo and later on in Parshas Kisisa? Or do we learn it out from the Pesukim and Korach of Bechor Shor? That's all. The only debate is, where is it coming from? But everyone agrees to the essential halacha. Tani didan savagal rechman b'kdushas damim v'hodim b'kdushas aguth. Now, our Tana says that the prime location is going to be donkey. Kedushas damim. Remember, that donkey does not have intrinsic sanctity. You're not offering that donkey on the Mizbech. You can't. It's not even a kosher animal. It just happens to be that the Torah says that the firstborn donkey has Kedusha. That's the prime location. There the Torah says that it needs to have similarity between parent and offspring. And then from there, we're going to learn to Kedushas aguf. And I guess the thought process is, look, if there is this exemption that exists by Kedushas Damim, you can only imagine that this exemption is true by Kedushas Aguf, intrinsic Kedusha. And Rav Yosi Sefer Galar Rechman, Kedushas Aguf, Vuhotim, Kedushas Damim, and Rav Yosi says the other way around, that the prime location to learn this halacha is from Kedushas Aguf, meaning kosher animals, and then we're going to extend it to Kedushas Damim as well. V'gamar Kedushas Damim, Kedushas Aguf. V'tani didan, hai b'chor b'chor, my avid lei. And now we go into our classic game of ping pong, because now we're going to do, what does each Tana do with the other's psukim? So what does our Tana do with b'chor b'chor? Mibay lel chad rav yosib rabbi chanin, dam rav yosib rabbi chanin, lama namra imurim b'b'chor shor, imurim b'b'chor kesev, imurim b'b'chor eiz. The halacha of imurim, the halacha is that you, after shechting the animal, the imurim, the insides of the animal, have to be burnt on the mizbeach. And I need the Torah to tell me about all three. Tricha. Look, your ox is your largest animal, complemented with the most amount of nesachim. Nesachim is the wine, oil, and flour that's brought with a karban. And the amount given in the Torah is most for your shor. So there, it's you're giving the most nesachim, so the imurim as well. Kesar shekein nisrabe ba'al yam. On the other hand, the sheep has something unique about it, which is the tail. Sheep has a very fatty tail that goes up onto the mizbeach, so it has a unique aspect. Eish shekein nisrabe etzav vazko chavim biyachid. And a goat has a unique characteristic in that if an individual is ovid avodah zarah b'shogeg inadvertently, so he's going to bring the carbon. And the carbon that he brings is a goat, a male goat. So you see that each one of them has a unique quality. So therefore, I can't learn one from the other. So then the Gemara says, you know, the next step of the Gemara, okay, I can't learn from one of them. How about if I learn from a combination? So the Gemara says, so what are we going to do? We're going to leave out the ox? I can't leave out the ox. Because goat and sheep are suitable for a carbon Pesach, and an ox isn't. So I might not have included the ox. So the Gemara says, okay, let's leave out the sheep. So the Gemara says, I can't, because an ox and a goat both are suitable animals to be brought for idolatry. The goat for the individual, the ox for the community. So therefore, I can't leave sheep out because sheep wouldn't have been included. And I can't leave the goat out because the ox has the largest amount of nesachim. The sheep has that extra tail. So each one of them has an addition of what the Gemara calls ribui etzel mizbeach, something added to the mizbeach. The goat does not have any of this. So therefore, all three are necessary. Good. Now we jump back to Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili, im kein lichtov kra ach bechor shor kesev ve'ez. The Torah, in its conservation of words, could have just simply said, bechor shor kesev ve'ez. Bechor lamali. Why add the additional word bechor in between each one? Elalash mamina, ashehu shor ubechoro shor. It has to resemble its parent. Rav Yossi Aglili, hi, petr chamor, my avilei. Now we turn to Rav Yossi Aglili. What does he do with petr chamor, the repetition? Rav Yossi Aglili, omer, mitok shenem ach pato tifteh es b'chor ha'adam ve'es b'chor ha'behema tameh tifteh. Pasuk says that you're going to redeem humans and non-kosher animals. Shameh ani afilu pitre susim gmalim. Now it says behema tameh, and that's a general category. So I might have thought that it would apply to all behemoth tameya, even horses, even camels. Tamalomer petor chamor. Amatilach v'lo pitresu simu gemalim. That's why I have the repetition. It's only petor chamor. The Gemara says you could still argue v'adain ani poter chamor b'seh pitresu simu gemalim b'chol davar. Maybe the Torah is just telling me a distinction, which is donkey is redeemed with sheep, but when it comes to a firstborn horse or firstborn camel, maybe there's a requirement of redemption, and use whatever you want. Petach chamor shnei pa'amim. That's why it says petach chamor twice. Pitre chamor ma'amar delach v'lo pitre susim gemalim. Okay, that is the repetition, that's the explanation of the repetition, according to Rav Yossi Aglili. Paruch Rav Achai says, I do not understand. Right, we have one of the 13 rules of Rabbi Yishmael, which is something which is in the generality. In this case, behemah tameya. That's generality. And the Torah then points to one example, the yatzah min haklal lamed. And there, the Torah takes one example, which happens in this case to be the donkey. Lo lamed alatzmo yatzah, not just to teach us about donkey, ela lamed ala klal kulo yatzah, but to teach us about all non-kosher animals, olam b'seh. Meaning at this point, the Gemara now says, if we're going to use this, I don't know which number it is, but if we're going to use this one of the Yud Gimel Midos of Rabbi Yishmael, so then the result should be all non-kosher animals should be redeemed, and with the sheep. That's why it says petach chamor again, in order to make sure that we know that this is only true for donkey. So now the Gemara says, but even if we use this methodology, I might have thought that this would be limited only to chamor in the sense that you redeem it with a sheep. Other non-kosher animals redeem with anything. The Torah would have just simply said, petach chamor you should redeem with a sheep, and then chamor tifteh b'seh. But the Torah doesn't do that. What does the Torah do? Petach chamor tifteh b'seh. Peter chamor tifteh b'seh. The Torah says it straight out two times. Firstborn donkey redeemed with the sheep. And then the Torah goes again. Firstborn donkey redeemed with the sheep. Lamali, pitre lamali, why do I have both of those? And the Gemara's response is, pitre chamor ma'amar tilach v'lo pitre susim u'gemalim. That's why we have a full repetition of the pasuk to tell me that this requirement of redemption for non-kosher animals is limited to, first of all, which animals need to be redeemed? Only the donkey. And what do you redeem it with? Only a sheep. The Tana Didan. Now that was all Rav Yossi Aglili. One more turn back. Now we turn to our Tana. Tana Didan Lamuti Susim Gabal Manaluhu. How does he know, how does our Tana know that horses and camels do not need to be redeemed? Amra Papa Komiknecha Kol mitnecha tizachar, parshas kisisa, all your male flock, klal, shor, v'seh v'chamor prat. Followed then by the Torah giving us very specific examples of an ox, a sheep, and a donkey. Klal uprat in b'chlal elamashe beprat shor v'seh v'chamor in midiach rini lo. And this is as classic as it comes. This is your classic klal uprat. Generality followed by specific. And the rule is, klal uprat, ein shebechlal ela ma shebeprat. You only have what the examples that the Torah gives and nothing beyond that.
Why didn't it mention goat?
Yeah, goat's not mentioned. The Gemara is going to have other issues as well. Yeah, what do we do with goat? Because we know goat requires a redemption. It's part of Seh?
Yeah,
Sown is usually your general term. Not, I don't know. Okay? Okay. Fine. Maybe that's, okay. I'm accepting. So, Shor v'seh v'chamor in midach rini lo, v'rabbi Yosef li petar hifsik ha'inyan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you read the Pasuk, you'll see that the Torah adds the words petar. Right? Do me a favor. Let me just borrow your Gemara because it has a Pasuk. There we go. Kol petarechem li'vachol miknechat zizachar petar shor v'seh u fetar chamor tifzeh v'seh. Okay? So, right before the word chamor, it sticks in the word u fetar. Now, notice that it has the word petar and it has a vav. Okay? And the Gemara is going to note both of these. So, v'rabbi Yosef li'li petar hifzik ha'inyan v'rabbanan, now the chachamim say no, vav hadar arvekra. Yeah, but before the word petar, I have the vav. The vav is a connector. You know how a vav works. It links together two psukim. So Rav Yosef Aglili lo lichtav lo vav lo petar. So Rav Yosef Aglili would respond to the Chachamim and say, you're making me crazy. Meaning petar is separating and the vav is coming to link. So leave out the separation and leave out the link. And just simply, the next pasuk should just simply begin with the words chamor or vichamor. But in other words, but what is it, what's happening over here? V'rabbanan. And the Chachamim say in their defense, I did a HaKadosh of Damim, HaKadosh of Zaguf, Pasuk Luv, Adar Ariv Lahom. The Torah wants to make sure that we understand that they're categorically different. Meaning, it is Klal Uprat, and it operates with Klal Uprat, but they're categorically different. Shor V'seh have Kedusha Zaguf, they're intrinsically holy. Meaning that when they're first born, they come out as a karban, needing to be brought on the Mizbeach. Now when we go to Chamor, it has Kedushas Bechor, but not Kedushas Aguf. Not intrinsic Kedusha, Kedushas Damim. Only the value of it has Kedusha, which means that in practical terms, it has to be redeemed. How do you redeem it? Using a sheep. That's the only reason why the Torah added that word Upetra, just to tell us that now we're now in a new category. But in terms of the methodology of Klal Uprat, it still operates with methodology of Klal Uprat. Again, through all the Gemara that we just went through, there really is no machlokis in terms of halacha. Everyone agrees to the halacha. It only applies to donkey. It only is to be redeemed with a sheep. No other non-kosher animal has this requirement of bechor. It's just donkey. How do we know that? Okay, so that's up for a debate and a discussion. Either we learn it out from the Pasuk of Korach, which is the opinion of Rav Yosi Haglili, or we learn it out from the repetition of Peter Chamor, which is the position of our Mishnah, right, Tana Didan. And then the ensuing discussion of the Gemara is, what does each Tana do with the other's Pesukim? Good. Continuing. Ibai Lahom. Parash Yaldam in Chamor. Okay, cow gave birth to a donkey. V'yesh bo mixa simanim ahu. And there's mixa simanim. Okay, now, mind you, we talked about mixa simanim, but we discussed it in the context of goat to sheep and sheep to goat. Meaning, we quoted the Mishnah, which is coming up later on. If a goat has a sheep, and there's mitzah simanim, and there's some similarity, so then it's obligated. But in our Mishnah, we just gave the example of a cow giving birth to a donkey, where there's no similarity. Meaning, what comes out looks exactly like a donkey. Not a goat, does not have any resemblance to the cow mother whatsoever. What we want to know now is, what if it's nidme b'mitzas? What if it has some similarity? So the Gemara is going to go through 1, 2, 3 different scenarios. Scenario number 1, cow gives birth to a donkey with mitzas imanimahu. Eishi yalda min racha v'racha, she yalda min ez dechi yesh mitzas imanim, chayev es bebechor da ha-tahor va-tahora. I can understand this halacha of mixa simanim by goat and sheep because they're basically the same. Meaning, one's a kosher animal, the other's a kosher animal, and there is some resemblance. But hakadusha is a guf, and they're both intrinsically holy. But over here, when your cow gave birth to a donkey, even though there's some similarity, but look how different they are. Mom is a tahora. That which comes out looks like a tamea. Hakadusha is a guf, hakadusha is a adamim. Mom has intrinsic kedusha, or could have intrinsic kedusha. The donkey that comes out of her only at best will have kedusha's damim. So lo, odilma kevin de idiv idiv b'nei mikdash bebechor kadosh. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, you can make the argument that look, both are in this parsha of kedusha. Both are in the parsha of bechor. They both are subject to the laws of bechor. So maybe I'll say, as long as you have some similarity, the thing that comes out, this mutated donkey, but because it has some similarity, therefore will be subject to the laws of Bechor. And the Gemara says, you know what? Let's assume like the second position, that it does have Kedushas Bechor. Now we're going to go to scenario number two. Three in total. Now we'll go to scenario number two. Chamor she'yaldah min sus. What if the donkey gives birth to a horse? Okay? Mutated animal that came out. Mau. So on one hand, we could just simply say
it's not a
bechor. Odilma kevin de min tamehu kadosh. On the other hand, you could just simply look at the offspring and say, look, it is a min tamea. It's a non-kosher species that came out. In other words, because it had some similarity to the mother. So imtam solomar kevin de min tamehi kadosh. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe you'll argue min tamea. Okay, it's a form of a non-kosher animal, and that's basically now your donkey giving birth to a pseudo-donkey. Okay, and therefore it's kedushas bechor. So let's punctuate the discussion with the third scenario. Parashi yalda min sus mahu. What if your cow gives birth to a horse? The mutated animal that comes out looks like a horse, but some similarities to its mother. Okay, hacha vadai hatahor vatameya. The Gemara says, now look, over here, mom is a cow. Mom is a tahora. The thing that comes out now looks like a tameya. Habas mikdash bebechora, vahalobas mikdash bebechora. In addition to that, mom is subject to the laws of bechora. The horse fetus that comes out is not subject to the laws of bechora. So the Gemara says, or do we just simply attach ourselves to the argument of mixa simanim? It resembles a little bit. Tashma, the Gemara says, come and hear. Okay? Could not be any clearer. We have the, what is this? I'm going to say it's a braisa. Yeah? Okay? That I have a kosher animal that gives birth to a non-kosher species, it will be exempt unless there's mixa simanim, unless there's some similarity. So my love, afilu parshiyalda min sus. So the Gemara says now, could be that it's talking about where the cow gave birth to something that looked like a horse. And the Gemara says not necessarily lo parshiyalda min chamor. No, it's talking about where a cow gave birth to something that looked like a donkey. Where there's more of an argument to say that which comes out is kedushas bechor. Why? Because donkey is in the category of bechor. Tashma, the Gemara says, try it again. Parash yalda min chamor v'chamor, shialda min sus, p'tura min ha-bechora. Im yesh ba mixa simanim, chayev is be-bechora. If there's mixa simanim, you're chayev. Now here, slam dunk. Because it says a cow that gives birth to a donkey, or a donkey that gives birth to a horse. So my love are tarvayhu. So the Gemara says, aren't we talking about both? The Gemara says, lo parash yalda min chamor. Now it's talking about the cow giving birth to the donkey because they're both in the category of bechor. So the Gemara says, so then what was the point of the second statement of the Braisa?
Same category of bechor. One is a bechor.
Agreed. But at least they're in the parsha of bechor. Horse is not even categorically in bechor. So the Gemara says, so what's your point now? What's the second point of the Braisa? That there's an exemption? That's the whole point? Pshita. Hashem ma parshial de min chamor de idavi de min mikdash bebechor nenu. Amarti mishba mikdash semanim in ve'ilo lo. Look, if I have a cow giving birth to a donkey, if there is no similarity, they're exempt. And they're both in the category of Bechor. So chamor shial de min sus mi baye. So the Gemara says, so now I have a donkey giving birth to a horse, and the whole point of the Brice is to tell me about exemption? Of course there's exemption. It's the Rech, the Gemara says, no, it is necessary. Look, when the cow gives birth to the horse, look how far away they are from one another. You're talking about an animal that has horns, meaning the cow, and an animal that doesn't have horns, meaning the horse. You're talking about an animal that has split hooves, the cow.
The calf doesn't have horns either.
But it will. You're right. But it will have horns. And the fetus that doesn't have hooves, the horse. Avahacha di idi ein la karnayim idi parsa klutos. But when donkey is giving birth to the horse, where I understand donkey is in the parsha bechor, and horse isn't. But the argument you could have made is, but they're awfully similar, right? They're in the right family wise. They don't have neither have horns. Both have fused hooves. So ema chamura don ba'amahu. So you know what we're going to call this donkey that came out of the horse, or vice versa? We're going to call it, horse that comes out of the donkey. We'll call it red donkey chamur adom. So. So Kamash Malans, the Gemara says no. And Gemara says, if there is no similarity, it's exempt. Okay. Umahein ba'achila. We go on to the next part of the Mishnah, and the next part of the Mishnah wonders, what's the story about eating? Meaning, our focus, we're learning the Masechta called Bechoros. Our main focus is going to be a focus of Kedushas Bechor. But then the Mishnah threw in a little bonus, which is, can you eat? If you have a kosher animal giving birth to a mutated baby that looks like a non-kosher animal, can you eat it? And the Mishnah said, yep, you can. The Gemara just wonders, what's that doing in our Mishnah? What happened? So, lamali lemithne shehayotzei. Why does the Mishnah need to mention this? Simana ba'amahu delo techlach lach. So the Gemara's answer is, it's a mnemonic. Meaning, remember, Mishnayos were committed to memory. So when you learn Mishnayos, so sometimes they threw in memory aids. So this part of the Mishnah is a mnemonic. So you don't want to confuse your girsa of the Mishnah. You don't want to say that a kosher giving birth to a non-kosher is prohibited, and a non-kosher that gives birth to a kosher is permitted. So the Mishnah throws in a mnemonic. Meaning, don't look at the animal itself. That's not the correct way to judge whether an animal is kosher or not. What you do in order to determine the kosher status of an animal is look at mom. Mom's a kosher animal. This is a kosher animal. Now the Gemara wants to know, good. Simana ba'alma. Where does this come from? Where does this rule come from? So the Gemara is going to spend pretty much the remainder of today's daf discussing this very question. How do we know that something that's generated by a kosher animal is in fact kosher, even though it itself does not look kosher? Mm-hmm. Tan Rabban, the Gemara says, we're going to quote. Now, we can either be going Shmini or we can be going Re'eh. The pasuk over here is quoted by Shmini, Parsha Shmini. Ach etzelo tochlu mimalei agar mimafrisei ha-parsa. Don't eat this mi ma'alei ha-geira u'mi ma'afrisei ha-parsa. In other words, from. Right? Yesh l'chashu ma'alei ha-geira ma'afrisei ha-parsa v'i ata ochlo. You can have an animal that chews its cud, that has split hooves, so has all the signs of being kosher, and you still don't eat it. V'ezezezet ha'or shenola min ha-tamei. Nope, that's it's a kosher animal, meaning it has both simanim, chewing its cud, and split hooves, but it mutated. In other words, it was the product of a non-kosher animal. And for reasons of mutation, just simply it comes out with the simanim. Oh, I know, alatame hanolam inatar, or mai mimale gemma mafirse aparsa. The Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a non-kosher coming from a tahor, and what is the male gerim afrise parsa? So hachikama davar habami male gerim afrise parsa lo techal. So the Gemara says it could be that you could have inverted the whole drasha. You could have said that we're talking about where mom had the simanim, the kosher characteristics of chewing the cud and of split hooves, and what the Torah is telling us is the product that comes out of it, you're not allowed to eat. Maybe that's what the Torah is telling us. So the Gemara says, "Lo tamalomer gamal tamei hu." The camel, it is tamei. Hu tamei. The ain tamei anolam in the Torah tamei ela tahor. But a non-kosher that comes from a kosher is in fact tahor. Period. Rabbi Shimon Omer gamal gamal shnei pamim echad gamal anolam in a gamala veechad gamal anolam min hapara. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and Rabbi Shimon says no. That even if the camel comes from a parah, the parah is a kosher animal, still can't eat the camel. Now the Chachamim disagree, because the Chachamim say anything that derives from a kosher animal is kosher. So what do they do with the repetition of gamal gamal? One is to tell us that it is aser, the other one is to tell us that the milk of such an animal is aser. Rabbi Shimon lesser chalbo menale. So the Gemara says, and what does Rabbi Shimon learn it out from? That you're not allowed to drink the milk of a camel. Anafkele me es hagamal. We learn it out from the S. The S is always a ribu, it comes to include. Virabanan. Now where do the Rabbanan stand on this S? Esim lo darshi. They don't do it. They don't expound the S. Kedetanyu lenten abraisa. Shimon ha'em suni. We're familiar. We've seen this already a number of times. Hayadosh is called Esh Shabbatorah. Shimon Ham Suni was developing his following theory. Every time the Torah says the word S, it comes to include something. Kevan Shigia Le'eth Hashem Elokecha Tira. But then he gets to a pasuk in. Is it in Re'e? It's an Egev. Yeah, right. It's an Egev. This one, it's earlier. So in other words, he got pretty far. Breishis Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar. He got to the beginning of Devarim, and then it says Eis Hashem Lokecha Tira. You fear Hashem. And now listen carefully. What are you going to do with that S? What are you including? Correct. In other words, shattering the fundamentals of Judaism. There's nothing else to include. So Piresh, so at that point in time, he said, my theory's wrong. And all his notes and, you know, all of his research threw right out the window. So student said to him, what happens now? What about all your work? So he says, good, I'm going to get rewarded. Just like I got rewarded for every time I darshaned, so I'm going to get rewarded for every time I separated. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva. Now, great take-home lessons from this Gemara. Right? Really fantastic. Meaning that trial and error, right, in the quote-unquote real world, right, in the world we live in, so you don't get rewarded for failed trials. Right? In Torah, when you learn Torah, even if you make an attempt, and even if you're wrong, you get rewarded for that. He says, look, I'll get rewarded for trying, and even though it's a fail, I'm going to get rewarded for that as well. Right, that's the Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim. Right, we try and they try. We get points for trying.
He failed once, though. The other cases of Ed were included.
But he said, but his theory was wrong. His theory was, I'm going to every S is meant to be darshan. And he thought he was, and then once he got to Es Hashem Lokecha Tira, he said, "That's it. I can't do it anymore. So I'm done." He scratched everything. He scratched all his work. So Mikabuscha Ala Prisha. So good. So that's a good take home lesson to learn. Achiva Rabbi Akiva, Veli made S Hashem Elokecha Tira LaRabos Tamid Chachamim, and Rabbi Akiva said, "No, the S is coming to include Tamid Chachamim, those who embody the Torah, those who are, you know, really, really accentuate the Tzelem Elokim. So they also need to be feared as well. So good. So Rabbi Akiva. Now Shimon Amsuni, by the way, it sounds like from the Gemara that Shimon Amsuni gave it up. Because the whole point that the Gemara brought this in was to show us that there is a Tana who doesn't darshan the Essim. So I can't, you know, right? It's a little bit weird to say that Rabbi Kiva revived and resuscitated his theory, And then the Gemara is kind of stuck. Because the Gemara says, oh, there's somebody out there who doesn't darshan esem.
What does a chachamah
do? Right. Okay, so.
What do they do?
They accept it? That's what I'm saying. It seems to me.
No, but the Gemara uses Shimon Hamasoni as somebody
who does not.
An expert in all the etim, and even he.
Does not.
Couldn't.
Right? But, and I find it to.
It wasn't that he said don't do etim, but he just figured he couldn't do all of it.
Correct. And Rabbi Akiva obviously disagrees. And look, Rabbi Shimon, who is obviously not Rabbi Shimon Hamsuni, Rabbi Shimon agrees that you can darshan esen. I'm venturing to say, it seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, that Shimon Hamsuni scratched it and never returned to it.
And Rabbi Shimon was a student of Rabbi Akiva, so.
Right, which makes sense, correct. Correct. Huh?
He was revived and accepted. No?
But he himself did not revive it. Okay.
Correct.
They don't agree to Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Correct. Amle Ravacha Bre de Ravala Ravashi Ella Miata Time de Rabana Migama Gamal. Reb Shimma Meskama Halav Hachi Avamina Chalav de Behema Tamea Sharik. Now look, we have now two possible sources why I can't drink the milk of a camel. Either it's Eshagamal, if you're that type of person who darshins S's, or it's the repetition of Gamal Gamal. Without either drasha, we would have thought, enjoy the milk of a camel. The Gemara says, really? Gemara says, let's go back to Chulin. Let's remind ourselves. Right? Bug juice. And I do not mean that in the camp sense. But I mean that in the, you know, the bug juice. You squeeze the juice that comes out of a bug is as prohibited as the bug itself. Seer and rotev and kippah. So it's the rasaka da'cha mina hol de behemah Torah na'mi chidushu. The Gemara says no, because look, we drink the milk of cow. Even that's a chidush. Even that is not intuitive. Why? Because chalav is a derivative milk is a derivative of blood. Now, the Gemara says this. Am I going to explain this biologically? No. I'm not going to, but there is some. In other words, what this is built on is that a woman after giving birth no longer menstruates and she lactates. Now the way the Gemara says it is that the blood turns into milk. Okay, we won't say. In other words, I don't feel the need to explain it biologically. As first of all, I can't, and secondly, I'm not even sure if that's the Gemara's point. It just is that milk is somewhat connected, it's somewhat related to blood. So the Gemara says, good. So now that that's true, so then you say to yourself, good, so how am I going to drink milk? Milk has a connection to blood. So now the whole idea, the concept that I'm even drinking milk, that in of itself is a chiddush. So I might have thought, so what difference does it make if I'm drinking milk of a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? Meaning, even milk of a kosher animal could have, in fact, been prohibited. Kamash malan hanich laman damar dam nekar v'nasa chalav elaman damar Avram is parakim heimen of einav shechoseres ala adas v'var b'chorish ma'ikal meimar. Now, the Gemara says this itself is subject to a debate. The Gemara Nida, we'll talk about it one more when we get to Gemara Nida, which is really not that long from now, springtime. We'll start Masechta Nida. So the Gemara there brings down a debate. Why a woman stops menstruating after she gives birth? One explanation is because the lactation replaces the blood, the menstrual blood. Another position is no. In other words, it's just simply the idea that she gave birth and her Avrehan is parkin. It's trauma to give birth, and that's why she doesn't menstruate for the next 24 months. That's another explanation over there in the Gemara. Nothing to do with the blood converting to milk. So you see that that's subject to a debate. So now, why would I think that milk is prohibited? It's the Sakadat Khamina Hovalaka Mida Dasami Chai Vishari Rahmana Bahai Khalav Ki Avermina Chaihu Vishare Hilka Khafil Behematamir Lishtar Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, here's your Hava Mina. You know what milk might have fallen under the category of? Aver Min Hachai. It's a limb coming off a live animal. Now I know, and you know, of course, that milk is not a limb, but it is a product of a live animal. You can't take off the limb off a live animal and eat it. That's Eivor Min HaChai. Prohibited to me, you, and to Bnei Noach. What about milk? Also Eivor Min HaChai. It's a product of a live animal. And subsequently, the Gemara says, it's you might have put it under that category. And the Chiddush is, no, it doesn't fall under the category of Eivor Min HaChai. I remember somewhere in the recesses of my mind, there was a discussion where, as we're going to see in just a moment, milk is permitted. Okay, good. So everyone can finish today's daf with breakfast, cereal, and milk. Milk is permitted, even though we might have fallen under the category of Eivor Min HaChai. I remember, I don't have chapter and verse, but there's a discussion amongst the Achronim, how about for non-Jews? Meaning we have a special heter that we could drink milk. Right? Can non-Jews drink milk? In other words, the Gemara just put it under the category of Eivor Min HaChai. Okay. I didn't look at Rabbi Kornfeld. Anyway, I'll see if he discusses it. Not necessarily. In other words, the idea that the Gemara put milk under Eivor Min HaChai, it filed it under Eivor Min HaChai, I agree with you. It's non-intuitive. It's definitely non-intuitive. But the Gemara did. The Gemara just filed it under Eivor Min HaChai.
But the thing is that we said...
As a Hav Amina.
But we said to be an Ever, we didn't say the gear, the bones.
Yeah, agreed. It's a good question. Rather than come up with some answer, just acknowledge that's a really good question. That's Gemara's next question. The Chalav de Behematar Minalan de Sharei. So the Gemara says, now how do you know that milk is permitted? So the Gemara makes the following argument, which to me sounds excellent. You know the Torah says you can't eat milk and meat together.
Obviously.
Right? So it sounds like milk by itself is okay and meat by itself is okay. So the Gemara says, look, well, you could argue and you could say that milk by itself you're not allowed to drink. Milk and meat cooked together, you're not allowed to drink and you're not allowed to benefit from. So the adding of milk and meat adds a layer of iser, but milk by itself is aser b'achila. The Gemara says, "Ulu Rabbi Shimon d'shari b'anam mishkacha lela milk al bishula." And even according to Rabbi Shimon does not maintain that there is a prohibition of benefit from meat and milk. We don't possibly like Rabbi Shimon, but he's of that position. But even according to him, you can say that milk by itself is aser. And what happens when you cook it with meat? You get malchus. Cooked it with meat. So the Gemara says, I'll give you another argument. An animal that was designated to be a carbon and got a blemish and you redeemed it. It's what's called psule hamukdashim. It has residual kedusha. You can't work it, you can't shear it, and you can't drink its milk. You can only eat it. Now, if this animal you can't drink its milk, that means a regular non-consecrated animal, you could drink the milk. Again, the Gemara says, you could be argumentative. And you could say that a milk of a regular animal is prohibited to eat, and the milk of the psule hamukdashin, you're not allowed to eat and benefit from. So the Gemara says, okay, we tried arguments. We don't have a sound argument. So let's try the following. Psukim, Pasuk and Mishle. V'day chalav izim lach mechal alachem besecha. The milk of goats, goat milk, says the Pasuk in Mishle. Enjoy it. It's good.
If you look for the source, why did the story of Avram and the Termakim actually?
Yeah, so I saw his notes on the daf had that question.
That would have been a more, this is more like an asmach with that.
Correct, correct. So
maybe it's allowed for angels, but
no, but they didn't know the
rest. Also, it's pre-Sinai.
No, but they're supposed to observe
the mitzvah. Agreed. Okay. The Gemara says, well, maybe the Pasuk of Mishle just means that you could take the milk and sell it, not that you could drink it. Ela midichsev ve'es aseres charitze ha'chalav v'ten charitze ha'chalav. Right, this was sent from Yishai to his sons at war. Right? V'dilma l'schora. So maybe the milk was there to be sold. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to sell milk on the battlefield? Which is the Gemara's next question. Atu darkish al-macham al-ischara? Right? Right. You're going to walk around.
In the war in Lebanon,
I understand supplying arms. Supplying arms, I understand, by the way. But, supplying milk?
For the enemy to
Or the Gemara says Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. The Ilo Desharim Mishtabeach Lan Kra B'Midi Delochaze. Gemara says we're not going to praise Eretz Yisrael on something that we're not allowed to eat. Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. Look, Israel's got great chalav. Oh, but you can't eat it. False advertising, right? Torah wouldn't do that. Iba yisayim amehacha, or how about this? L'chu shivru v'ichlu v'l'chu sivru b'lo kesev u'v'lo mechur yayin v'chalav. Paskin Yishayahu, milk. Elamiata, shafan shafan, arneves, chazir chazir, lahani u'da'aseh. So the Gemara says, okay, now we've explained the double language of gamal. You can't drink the milk of a camel. Good. So what about the repetition of Shafan Shafan? Arnevet Arnevet Chazir Chazir. Ela lechadetanya lama nishtum behema mimnei hashesua hashesua. The whole repetition was to teach us one halacha about the shesua. Rashi explains, strange creature. It has two backbones, two vertebrae. And it's not mentioned in Parshas Vayikra. More about that animal, so you'll see my good friend Rabbi Slifkin. Uva ofos mipnei ha-ra'ah, in terms of the repetition of the bird, so you have a mention of the ra'ah, which comes up in Devarim, not in Vayikra. Gamal, gamal, nami lahachu da'asa. So the Gemara says, so why don't we just simply say that the gamal repeated? Just because it's repeated, just because we wanted that extra halacha of shesua, or the extra halacha of ra'ah. So the Gemara answers very simply, when you have an opportunity to darshan, you darshan. Meaning, since we had an opportunity to darshan gamal, we'll darshan the extra gamal. Good. Okay, just quick review. We learned today about the halacha of nidmeh, of what happens when there's some resemblance between parent and offspring, and in the world of Bechor, it creates an obligation. The exemption is only when there's no resemblance. But as long as there's some resemblance, it's going to be obligated. The Gemara kind of got stuck at the last question of, what if the donkey gives birth to a horse? Okay? Gemara was unclear about that. Then the Gemara turned its attention to Davar Hayotze Minatar Tahor. A derivative of something which is kosher is kosher. So even if that which comes out doesn't look like a kosher animal, if mom is kosher, enjoy it. The Gemara says, milk of a camel prohibited. Davar hayotze min ha-tameh, a derivative of that which is non-kosher. The Gemara learns that halacha out either from the repetition of gamal gamal or from the es ha-gamal. Then discussion of, do we darshan esen? Machlokas. And then the Gemara says, how in general do we know that you're allowed to drink milk of an animal? The Gemara thinks to file it under Avram and Achai. And the Gemara says, I know it either based on Psukim from Shmuel, from Eretz Zavat Chalav Dvash, from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Why does the Torah repeat Kashrus in Vayikra and in Dvarim? So the Gemara says simply for a couple of extra halachas that we learn, Shesua and the Ra'am. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up.